I think a thought and like it, so I write it, then I find it is quite pleasing to my mind, the source from which it came. And I see this as a cycle, a self-sustaining game. It's entertainment for the poet, packed with anti-stoic statements that are geared at subjects latent like the truth in Plato's cave. These subjects are ingrained in the brain of he who thinks in terms of philosophic notions and in multicolored inks. These subjects are insane to the simple and mundane, whose retention spans a solid inch of that which people say. They're lofty and abstract, perhaps, and prone to be profound, but logic is the end game, see, harmoniously sound, a game sustained by its own play. Like food comes from the ground, defining perfection as connection moving around and around. Insane, you say, mundane, you are. Have yourself a candy bar and shut your mouth and close your eyes. This is food for thought, you're looking for food for flies. The writing game is just my thing. Expression fit for a king. Chuckle and I slap my knee as it is soliloquy. And that's the dream, ain't it such? Being happy with how much I do that bit the best I can. In a city of morale, I'm Superman. I think a thought and like it, so I write it, then I find it. My only kryptonite is symbolic Leonidas, who fights my new ideas on the back of both my eyelids while I struggle in defiance for a word that's in compliance with my lyrical alliance. But Leonidas dies when I open up my eyes. The word was right in front of me, only in disguise. And victory is sweet when the enemy's your mind. When you shatter self-made obstacles, water turns to wine. So here's a toast to the writing game. It's my method of finding my way through the cave. Try it out, it's lots of fun. But spoiler alert, God is the sun. When you separate perception from objective situation, reality holds tried and true on its firm foundation. The writing game is just my thing, and you've every right to disagree. But process the question before you leave: is there a sun that provides for our needs? There's room for rebuttal, I do understand. I'm just not so eager to discount a hand. Is it a conflict in logic or prideful resistance that denies the statue the sculptor's existence? If there is no sun, then why leave the cave? You'd find no more truth than if you had stayed. And if the sun is not God, then why care at all? What joy is to be had from a gaseous ball? Humanistic triumph is triconsolation when juxtaposed with joy without expiration. Both are beliefs and both take faith, but one is mundane while the other is great. I choose the latter and I'm not ashamed to be labeled an idealist. I'm self-proclaimed. My God is ideal, his son is the same. My God felt the pain when his son took the blame. It's sickly profound how keenly insane are the thoughts that fester in our hearts and brains. Here is the sun saying he's light, and we shield our eyes while saying yeah right. And we did what we could to blot out the sun, for the sight was too bright for the deeds we had done. But such an attempt was a juvenile display of a child in a tantrum. Not getting his way, we kicked and we moaned and we made ourselves cry. But the writer of life gets back up when he dies. The sun arose and lit the sky. By his light I saw my pride. Symbolically Leonidas, on the back of both my eyelids. Leonidas died when I opened up my eyes, because the word was right in front of me, shining in the sky. And humanistic triumph is just fabricated life. It's like praising Mona Lisa for watching with her eyes. A beautiful piece, I do agree, but extolling a canvas is idiocy when you neglect the due supremacy of he who paints the imagery. It's stupid to do, and makes you a fool when you credit a house to the work of a tool. The way that I see it, we've two distinct groups, those who don't wanna see the builder and those who do. Again, I'm part of the latter and I'm not afraid to take on the risk that comes with a faith, because you're taking a risk. No matter the camp, you pitch up a tent or light up a lamp. Yes, you're a faithful individual that I guarantee, you just might not recognize the way you're faith in the seed, you know, next to nothing, and the same applies to me. And yet we operate like we're precocious bees' knees. I'm just wonder whether we're whistleblowers at the scene, neglecting perfection because we don't want to see a piece of potential that could illuminate the key, that could open up the door into a new mentality. Oh,
Just consider the metaphors and the potential they provide to show the reality we keep missing in this life. I think a thought and like it, so I write it, then I find the thought that I've written now has a life apart from mine. And even if the thought that I ingeniously contrived never understands that it's a product of my mind, I'm not finished nor diminished, my existence will survive. My vision is sufficient, but the thought I wrote is blind. Struggle and wrestle with that metaphor for God, the implications it proposes and the changes it would cause. Wrestle for some time in your pursuit to understand the lunacy involved in the origin of man. All theories are fuzzy when they get to the how, but the point is there is beauty and you're living it now, with the ability to rise despite gravity pulling you down, and with metaphors like eyes to make the point that it's profound, that there's a hint of intention that is objectively ground within existence, and it's consistent how it works itself out. Our eyes can see the beauty that's supposed to be found inside. We feel the glory of the beauty all around. Surprise, we take a pen and then we lay it all down into a lyric, then we hear it and delight in the sound, thus creating new beauty on which another can expound. Thus shaking the stoic out of his condescending frown, thus not feeling so bad about not knowing every how, thus defining perfection, that's connection moving around. The writing game is saturated with potential for glory. These words were once alone, but now they're part of a story, and that is humanity if you'll open up your eyes. A singular story composed of multiple lives. I think a thought and like it, cause it's a child of my mind. It's an existence that I find as a nature subject to time. But even when it dies, I can resurrect it again when I'm reminded by my kid father this idea is a friend. So I immortalize it with my pen, ensuring it doesn't die again. Once an idea, now an end to the beginning of the epic of men. I think a thought and like it, so I write it, then I find it is quite pleasing to my mind, the source from which it came. And yet we always wonder why God made us from the clay. He spoke a thought and loved it, so he wrote it, then he noticed it was starting to walk away the direction of the greater. So he composed an immaculate thought in which he superimposed his heart, so he could approach the other thoughts in hopes of redirecting their ways. He did it for the glory of the perfectly written story, in which we get to share in the joy if we would just accept this boy. But we so often push away as if we're seeking liberation. We associate such faith with judgmentalism and nature, completely neglecting our own hatred, as if we're conveniently sanctioned to hate upon the haters, as if our hatred would change them. Now I don't know how our logic became so undone, but if you hate on the haters, then the haters have won. You'll be on the winning team, so perhaps you'll find it fun, but you're just strangling your teammates until your own turn finally comes.
Of course, that entire issue is just a tangent from the purpose of expressing how human triumph without God is trite and worthless. The writing game is fun because it lets us be like God, and if you take a minute to get in it, that doesn't seem so odd. Because the truth is, if you use it as a means to understand, it's a self-sufficient justification to the concept of God's plan. Meaning it begs the question, well, given the answer all within the span of the menial mental meanderings of an otherwise mundane man. You can use it as a tool to take a teaching by the hand and implement it as a brick in the moral ground on which you stand. For example, I give ample thought and objective consideration to the lines and rhymes with which I give this piece its population. But it doesn't matter how hard I think or meticulously I consider, for clever rhythm never made a bitter man not bitter. What I'm saying here is there is very little I can't control when it comes to you, cause you're an autonomous human being and you're gonna do things how you do. The writing game has shown me this, and so I give up any pursuit that has me wasting precious energy pushing a wall that I can't move. So I channel that excess energy into the doors that have potential to be open, while I'm hoping God might make me influential. And that is why I'm standing here showing you this game, asking you to ask yourself, am I still in the cave? If you've yet to recognize the sun and the light he freely gives, I ask you without malicious intent to carefully consider this. If we're in a cave and the sun is out, the light we're gonna see is just a microscopic speckle of the sun's intensity. But if we leave the cave to see the sun in all its splendid glory, we no longer have the same kind of choice or ease within ignoring. We can lift our hands and try our best to pretend there's nothing there, but we're inevitably still wretchedly and tragically aware, wondering whether we're getting it wrong with our hands in front of our eyes, numbing ourselves to the prick of conviction that spreads across the sky, wasting precious energy and avoiding the question of why we can't just let our stupid hands fall from our face down to our sides and say, the sun is pretty beautiful, thank God I came outside. The cave in which I pitched my fit was poison in my mind. And in that light we might decide it's right to just lie down and bask in all the beauty as we lie there on the ground and marvel in the majesty while considering the how behind the overwhelming joy and peace within this thought which we have found. God is connection, moving around and around. He spoke a thought and loved it. We just happened to be the sound.